Let's turn over to the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy and read just a little bit. Well, we'll read the 28th chapter first, and then there's a verse here I want to read, verse 2. I want you to take knowledge now of what we're saying tonight. You know, if you get the benefit of the word, you got to listen. I say this a lot of times. The Bible said, give the more earnest heed to the things that you've heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. A lot of times people, as a whole, they don't get the good out of what God's trying to tell them because they don't listen close. They hear what you say, but they don't really listen close enough. Did you know to get what God is saying, you have to listen real close? The Bible said, hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. And I've seen people that listen what? In the way that they thought that they were really listening close. But I'd go back and talk to them just to see if they got the Word of God and what the Spirit was saying and find out that they didn't get it. So you've really got to listen close. The Bible said, give the more earnest heed to the things that you've heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. And take heed how that you hear. That's the two things that you should always do. And when you come into the house of God, the Bible said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. That is a preparation of the heart that makes everything just right for the receiving of God's word. I might say, well, Brother Pike, where do you get that at? The Bible teaches that God is the word of spirit that inhabits the praise of his people. So then God is looking for a dwelling place or a lodging place. And if you don't enter into his gates with thanksgiving, if you don't enter into his courts with praise, then you don't give God a lodging place. God doesn't find a lodging place in your heart. Because when that word starts coming forth, it's not Brother Pike speaking, but it's the Holy Ghost. It's God, the Holy Ghost, speaking. And when the Holy Ghost starts speaking, he's looking for a lodging place. But if your heart is a heart of questions and surmising, evil surmisings and wonderings, resentment, fault finding, and out on the world and on money and prestige and popularity and self and eating and drinking and all kind of things, the Word of God just passes you right by. Now, you don't believe that, some of you, but you're going to find out in the day of the judgment that I'm telling you the truth. When I say the judgment, I doesn't always mean over yonder at the great white throne of judgment. That means that judgment could come to your house tomorrow, anytime. All right, it's just whenever the Lord decides that you know and are not doing. The 28th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. I want you to notice this. I want to emphasize this as I go along. Notice how that this great man speaks to his people. Now this man is acquainted with God. He's got God's favor, and he's acquainted with God. It says Moses is giving a charge to the people. This is what he's saying, being acquainted with God. Notice how he speaks to the people. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently. Notice that word, diligently. Not just listen, not just half-heartedly pay attention, not just say this is little Bethlehem and we're coming to church up here and we hear the word of God over and over and we don't see what we can get tonight. Not half-heartedly paying attention, your mind wandering over yonder and over here, and you're thinking about this and you're thinking about that. See, not half-heartedly listening, but the Bible said it shall come to pass. Now I want you to listen tonight, because this has to do with your welfare. This has to do with your judgment. This has to do with your health and has to do with your prosperity and your happiness. So you listen now. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it shall come to pass. Now these are the things that will come to pass. This is the way that you'll be affected in life. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently, diligently. I want to really get that word over, diligently, unto the voice of the Lord thy God. When I'm speaking up here, it is not me speaking, but the voice of the Lord thy God. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. That's where America is all mixed up. That's where she has missed it. She is depending upon her warfare, and she's depending upon her education, and she's depending upon her power of ingenuity, and she's lost out with God. God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. America, I'll set you on high above Germany, above Japan, above Iran, above Russia. I don't care how much warfare Russia has got, how much power Russia has got, what Russia thinks that they can do. I will set thee, America, on high above the nation of Russia, if you listen. You understand what I'm saying? God says the same thing to Russia that he's saying to America. Russia, if thou shalt listen and hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Germany, if thou shalt listen and hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, whosoever will listen and hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, I will set thee on high above all the other nations. Somebody say amen. We don't like to look at it like that, but Jesus said, what I say to one, I say to all. He is no respecter person. We'd like to, you know, we get that feeling, we'd love to take Russia by the throat, you know, and shake them till their teeth rattles. But them's God's people, just like people in America. There's people that love God there. There's people that's persecuted there. There's good people in Germany. I've been over there. I've been across the waters and the other places of the world. God loves them people just like he loves the people here at Bethlehem and in America. You better believe he does. And I'll tell you, some of them's in far better shape than some of the people of America. They're getting more favor with God than some of the people of America. All right. He's speaking to Israel right now. Israel failed. Now listen what he says to her. Or to Jacob. I will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city. We can do away with the fire wagons. We can do away with the doctors. We can do away with the traffic laws and all these things, so far as depending upon them. Blessed shalt thou be in the city. And blessed shalt thou be in the field. God will give us a harvest regardless to weather conditions. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground. No more little twisted up arms. No more little crippled children. No more children born that's all twisted up and heart conditions and can't breathe and freaks and everything else. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind. That is, our flocks won't have the black leg and everything else. And the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Everything won't be rotten and smelling. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and it won't cost you a fortune to go buy it. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord will cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouse, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. Now I want you to listen to that now. I will bless you in all that you set your hands unto. The Bible said, whatsoever that man doeth shall prosper. I will bless you in all that you set your hand unto. Everything that you want to do, I will bless you in it. I will establish a covenant with you. I will make you a holy people. Now this is the part that the devil don't like, and this is the part that everybody wants to leave off. The blessing part, they're 100% in favor of it. But the holy part, they don't have time for that. The Bible said, take time to be holy. Isn't that right? It takes a little time to pray and fast and to be holy. But that's the part the devil don't want anything to do with. He'll join up with the church to get the blessing, but he don't want to be holy. Isn't that right? Oh, Lucifer in the garden, he was willing to eat of all the trees, but he didn't want to do what the Lord said. All right. Listen to this now. I'll make you a holy people. That's the secret of it right there. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee. If thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. Now listen to this. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord. Not Baptist, not Methodist, not Presbyterian, not Catholic, not Pentecostal, but Christians. Jesus' name, folks. Called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. Are you listening now? The Bible says if you are a holy people, that the blessing of the Lord will be upon you, and people will be afraid of you. You know why they will be afraid of you? All right, listen, and he'll tell you why. And all the people of the earth, not some of them now, all of them, police, government, nationalities, nations, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. Now listen to this. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods. I like that, don't you? In other words, he don't say, and you shall scrape and barely get by. Somebody say, I made it this week, Brother Pike. God help me to make it next week. We're really living an overcoming life, ain't we? Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody said, I'm barely made it. I know God is watching after me. It says, and he will make thee plenteous in goods. Plenteous. How do you know what the word plenteous means? Plenteous in goods. Now I want you to listen to something tonight now. In the fruit of thy body, won't be losing your loved ones, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of the ground, thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. If you want gossip, if you want backbite, if you want find fault, if you want surmise, if you want cause trouble, I won't cause your vine to cast its fruit before the season, whether it be children or whether it be the fruit of the field. Listen now, I'll make you plenteous in goods. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven. Now that's where all his treasure is in the heavens. The heavens is his good treasure. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give thee rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head, and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandment of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Now, isn't that beautiful? My, isn't that beautiful? Somebody said, I wished I knew the will of God about what I'm about to do. Brother, I just told you the will of God about what you're about to do. Now I want you to listen to something else. Now you probably didn't catch it, because if you don't listen close, you won't catch what I'm trying to tell you now. That's why I stop and emphasize these little things, because you'll read all day long and never catch them unless the Spirit quickens them to you, and he will not quicken them to you unless you get in line to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Notice this. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only. Are you listening now? Somebody says, Brother Pike, the problem is it's up and down with me. No, the problem is you're up and down with him. See, because your testimony don't fit the Bible. The Bible said, try the spirits. If you're up and down, it's because you're not living right. Somebody said, hey, Brother Pike, don't talk like that, but it's the truth. He did not say that I will bless you, and you had to sit around and worry about losing it all, and today you're going to get a good run, and tomorrow it's going to be a dry run. God didn't say that. He didn't say, I'm going to give you plenty today, and tomorrow you're going to be losing everything you got. Now, did he say that? He said, thou shalt be above only. On the top all of the time. On the top all of the time. Somebody say hallelujah. I said, God said the head belonged on the top all the time. Now, wouldn't you look funny if your head was on top of you one day and up under your feet the next day? See, you're the head. I'll make you the head and not the tail. He said, now ye shall be, you'll have to forgive me if I get excited, because I believe in these things, folks. Ye shall be above only. I like that. Praise God. Some of us say, well, God give it to me, but I don't know where I can keep it or not. Praise God. All you got to do is just pray through and forget about all of that and say, Lord, I believe what you said. You said that if I would honor you, I'd be above all the time. How many know what the word only means? All the time. I'll be above all the time. It won't be no time I'll be down the valley. Somebody said, well, you got to go through the valley. Where did you read it in the Bible? He said, above all the time. All the time. All the time. I would that you be above only, and you will be above only. This is my blessing. Whatever you do will prosper. Your leaves will not wither. Because I would above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Now let's read the other side of it. Now I belong to this side. Now we're going to see which side you belong to. All right, now on the other side, and I feel sure a lot of you belong to the same side I do, but you got to claim it. All right, now listen, on the other side, here's a man of God speaking again now. The consequences of disobedience. But it shall come to pass. Now remember, I want you to think on this now before I read this other part here. Remember, this is the way America has been. Did you know that? America has been at one time to where she's lent to all nations and been blessed. Isn't that right? But now listen, see if you can find America in this last passage. Or find your own life, for that matter. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, that is to honor his word now, to observe, to do all his commandments, not some of them now, not those things that's convenient for you, not what you think you, not what you think God meant, or you think you'd like to do, or not that part that fits you, that's real convenient, you know, and leave off that part that cuts across your grain or makes you straighten up or makes you share with the poor or makes you share with God's gospel or reach out to try to do something for God. Not shirking that now. He said to observe, that is first to listen, hear, understand, and to know that God said it. To observe and to do. Then after that, as you've had a will, have a performance to do it. Incorporated in your life, incorporated in your flesh. Somebody said, well, I don't think I'll do it. I want you to listen because I got some news for you tonight. The voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shall thou be in the city, fires, heartaches, murders, robberies, New York, Atlanta, Georgia, the big cities of London and Germany and all around the world. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store, rotten, selling you anything from rats to anything that they can get past the inspectors with. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, the hospitals filling up everywhere, little babies twisted up all over the world, putting them in braces and everything else. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, everything withering up, powdering away, drying, rotting, can't get enough to feed the people. The increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep, cursed shall thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shall thou be when thou goest out. Diseases, diseases, eating up the cattle, killing the cattle. Cursed shall thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shall thou be when thou goest out. He said, ye shall make much, but it shall come to little, for I will blow upon it, because you let my house lay waste. Now listen now, I want you to really listen now. I'm talking about something here that you need to know. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do. Let's read that again now. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation. You ever been vexed? Well, some of you folks, sometimes I meet you, you're so vexed it looks like you don't never have a day of joy. It seems like you're vexed in the morning, you're vexed in the evening, you're vexed at night. Every time I see you, you're vexed. Can somebody say hallelujah? I wonder why you're like that. The Lord shall send upon thee. Now it sounds like that you've got out of tune. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke. Sound like the Lord's rebuking you. In all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. Now let's really get that one. The Lord will rebuke thee. He will let devils vex you. He said, I will let it go so far that it will destroy your health and your happiness and you. make it to happen quickly because of your wickedness. I will rebuke you in all that you do. I say, Brother Pike, my job just don't never go right. I'll tell you what, as much gossiping and backbiting and fault finding as you have on your job, I don't know how you have a job that it could go right. It is the grace of God that you even have a job. It is the mercy of God. The things that you talk about that I get the reports of, that you talk about on your job and you discuss, and the way you talk about the brotherhood and the mind that you've got, it, you know what? You're fortunate to have your sanity. Did you know that? God said, I will rebuke you. What will you rebuke them in? All that thou settest thine hand to do. It don't matter what you do. It isn't going to prosper. I will rebuke you, saith the Lord, and I'll let you be vexed. Get your job, but when you get it done, you'll have to run the man down to get your money, and then a lot of times you won't get it, because I'll let you get the wrong fella to work for. Somebody say amen. Now, y'all know this that I'm talking about. How have you acquainted with this that I'm talking about? See, now that proves that I'm on the right trail. Ain't that right? All right. See, it says the Lord will rebuke thee. Now, why will you do me like that, Lord? Because you done me this way. You forsook me. You let my house lay waste. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off of the land whither thou goest to possess it. You know, we have some pestilence coming in here once in a while. They get a chunk out of Bethlehem every once in a while. How do you know that? I will make them to cleave to thee. Now, there's a lot of kind of pestilence, a lot of them, a lot of different kind of pestilence. Devils and demons and people, troublemakers and grumblers and mumblers and there's just a whole lot of them. The Lord will make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off of the land whither thou goest to possess it. Now listen real good to this one. I might have said the devil picks on me all the time. Let's read that again now. It said the Lord shall smite thee with a consumption and with a fever and with an inflammation and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air, and of the beast of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. Hundreds and thousands killed on the battlefield. Listen now, especially to this one. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emrods, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness, and blindness, and astonishment of heart. I might say, I got to go to the doctor to get healed. It said, whereby the doctor can't do you no good. Whereof thou canst not be healed. He said in that day there will be no healing medicines. And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness. And thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. And thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore. And no man shall save thee. Now I want you to listen to this next one. This is America. And I trust to God that this will never be Bethlehem. Listen, folks, listen. Don't let this come to your house. Thou shalt betroth the wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. All the law has to do is serve the papers. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people. And thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long. And there shall be no might in thine hand. The fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up. And thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always. So that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed. From the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head, the Lord shall bring thee and thy king which thou shalt set over thee unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known. And that shall thou serve other gods, wood and stone. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, where the Lord shall lead thee. Thou shalt carry much seed out into the field, and shalt gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shalt neither drink of the wine nor gather the grape, for the worms shall eat them. You can't hardly plant a crop now without the worms getting it. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, for thine olive shall cast his fruit. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. All thy trees and fruit of thy land shall the locust consume. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee, overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and the statutes which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore shall thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness, and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. Now, it continues on. I want you to notice that it gets stronger and stronger. America is on her way down. Now listen, and the world is on their way down. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young, And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kind, or flocks of thy sheep until he have destroyed thee. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates until thy high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trustest throughout all thy land. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout all thy land which the Lord thy God hath given thee. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters which the Lord thy God hath given thee in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. After Moses told him this, if you'll read on over in the Old Testament, you'll find out that when the enemy came in on them, that they actually eat their own children. So that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil toward his brother and toward the wife of his bosom and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave, so that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he hath nothing left him in the siege, and the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in all thy gates. The tender and delicate woman among you would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicatenesses and tenderness. Her eyes shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, and toward her son, and toward her daughter, and toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet, and toward her children which she shall bear, for she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege and straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in thy gates. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in the book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Now listen. He said, also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed, and ye shall be left few in number, whereas ye were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. And it shall come to pass, that is, the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, and ye shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from one end of the earth even unto the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shall thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest, but the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and thou shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou wilt say, would God it were evening. And at evening thou shalt say, would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see, and the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships by the way, whereof I spake unto thee, thou shalt see it no more again, and there ye shall be sold unto your enemy for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. These are the words of the covenant. Now, that is reading to you the entire chapter, 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. Folks, I don't believe that anybody could soberly listen to that and say that they don't know what's wrong in their lives. I don't believe that anybody could listen to that and say, why is my condition of life such and such? Why is America like it is? How can you say, why is the world in the condition it's in? When God tells us that because we have rejected God's word, disobeyed God's word, dishonored God, having dishonored him in the sense of obedience, I don't see how that anybody could question their condition. To me, this makes everything very clear and very explicit. It makes you to know and makes me to know and makes the nation around us to know and makes the world to know what has happened. You believe that? It very definitely does. This is why that I get so upset a lot of times here at Bethlehem and wherever I preach. When I hear people go off and talk on the job or say things and they say, I don't understand. I don't understand. You are a liar and you are a hypocrite. You do understand. God made you understand. But because you are a liar and because you are a hypocrite, you are in the condition that you are in right here, my brother, my sister. You understand what I'm saying? Not a real brother or sister that's a hypocrite. Jesus said, friend. You can't really call him a brother or sister. But you are a hypocrite. You are a troublemaker. You want to find fault. Your heart isn't right with God. As the writer said, you are in the gall of bitterness. You are in the bonds of iniquity. Your heart isn't right with God. And you are seeking to cause problems. You are seeking to tear down. And one day God is going to meet you, as I said today, like a bear that's been robbed of the cubs, because you are standing in the way of sinners. And you're sitting in the seat of the scornful. And you've got God upset with you. That is the condition of the world today. The church world in general. That is the condition of many people that's at Bethlehem. When you go off and you say you don't understand, you've got one motive in mind, and that is to wreck, to tear down, to cause confusion, to cause division among the brethren, and to do everything you can against God and His kingdom, because your mind is perverted. A person that really wants to know, really wants to understand, they hear this word that I read. They hear these things that I say, and how can they keep from understanding? Anybody could understand. No one can go away and say they don't understand. They are a liar. Now, if it was a matter of not understanding the mysteries of God, if it was a matter of not understanding the deep things of God, if you went off and testified and said, my brother, we're having a wonderful time at Bethlehem serving Jesus. But you know, there's a lot of deep things that's coming forth. I don't understand, but I'm praying to God. Will you pray with me? Let's link together and get this thing. Now that can be God. But when you go up with your mumbles and grumbles and fault finding, you get out on the job and literally rend and tear people to pieces, especially the little lambs of God, get their minds tore up to where it takes months to get them back together, cause some of them to drift off. When you go out there talking about not understanding what's going on in Bethlehem, you are a liar and a hypocrite. And I hope someday my brethren will get the backbone to tell you so. A lot of times you pick on the little lambs. If you got a hold of a good ram, he'd have bust you wide open. Somebody say amen. You stay clear of some of them, because I got some good rams around here. If you get a hold of him, they'll bust you wide open. They'll strike you right in the middle with the word of God and leave you laying. Somebody say amen. That's what they're out there for, is to help watch for them little lambs and to watch for the sheep. But you dodge them because you know they'll charge right into you. Back in the days of David, they'd slip around the corners and they'd get David's men, but they didn't want to tangle with David. And David had a few generals that they didn't want to tangle with either. They'd go any way to get around them, but they didn't want to come face to face with them. You know why? Because they had their sword all whetted. They were good swordsmen, and they were men of war. It didn't take them about that long to help you to understand. I'm enjoying this. Praise God. Some of them freeze up, you know. You start getting down on the street where they live, and they don't talk about that. But I want to keep the wolves out of the herd. I know that you stumble, my brother, my sister. I stumble myself. The Bible said a good man stumbles. A good man stumbles. A good man will fall seven times, but he'll still get back up. He'll still get back up. He'll start over. He'll try again. But don't cause division. The Bible said, mark them that cause division among you. For God hateth them that cause division. Stop this thing of getting out on the job and chewing the cud. Stop chewing the rag like an old goat out there on the job. Every time you get on the job, every time you get out there, stop this business of getting out there and just going over and over and over about the church. It'll cost you your life someday. It'll cost you the life of your loved one someday. God is real. I want you to know that God is real, folks. How many of you believe God is real? God is real. We need to get this thing in our head and heart and know that God is real. Somebody say, you don't have to holler at me, Brother Pike. I know God's real. Well, why don't you act like it? No, you don't believe he's real. But I'll tell you one thing. You're going to find out he's real. Some of you believe he's real, but some of you think that you can play with God. You don't believe he's real, but you're going to find out he's real. You know, I said this morning, the Bible said, you think I'm altogether such a one as you are. But someday I'll meet you face to face. And you know what, folks? Not only you that are here, but those that hear, wherever you are, you know, these go out to a lot of people. I want you to know that when God tells you something and you don't honor God's word and you don't obey God's word, you're in trouble. That's just like in the areas of Macon, Georgia. When I walked in down there and the brother caught my hand and squeezed my hand, saying, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered thee as a hen would her brood, but ye would not. And it was said, now your houses are left unto you desolate, until ye say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. You can keep on playing around with God and rejecting the blessings of God and the goodness of God, till after a while you'll be in such a condition and you'll be in such a fix until you're having one spiritual convulsion right after another. And you'll say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of God. Anybody that'll come in the name of the Lord and help me, come and give me a helping hand. Folks, let's do what's right. I read tonight to you the blessings of the Lord. All of these blessings shall come upon thee, and blessed shall thou be in the field. And blessed shall thou be in thy storehouse, and blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee from on high, and open his good treasure called heaven, and pour you out a blessing you'll not be able to receive. God said he would do it. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out, and all nations shall call thee blessed, because they will know that you're called by my name. They will know that thou art a holy people. And they will be afraid of thee, because thou art plenteous in goods. Plenteous in goods. Why be a hypocrite when you can be plenteous in goods? Why pursue that old gossiping tongue of yours that the Bible said shall be rooted out? You know, I've told this in time past. Johnny Lee said when communists came into the area where they were, he said, I never knew that a man's tongue was long enough that you could catch it, pull it, and nail it to the floor. But said they did that. People strangled to death on their own blood. The unruly tongue. The Bible says, the unruly tongue shall be rooted out. Why is it that your tongue is so unruly? The Bible said the tongue is just a little member of the body. But it can cause a great problem. What a great fire a little matter kindleth. Why do you want your tongue to be unruly? Why do you want to talk about the preacher? Why do you want to talk about the brothers? Why do you want to talk about God's word? Why do you want to gossip and backbite and find fault with your neighbor? Hadn't you rather just eat and drink and be plenteous and good and ride and spend your time thinking about good things, having God's blessing, than to have this little gossiping, unruly tongue, always pouting, always saying things, always having vain imaginations, going from house to house? The Bible said there's some mouths that need to be stopped. Perverting whole households, always being temperamental, always rising up, always giving your opinion. God doesn't want your opinion. He doesn't want mine either. God is interested in what he said. Folks, I'm telling you what God said. You say, what did God say? He said, I will destroy you. I will pursue you till you perish from off of the face of the earth. I beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. Somebody said, well, God's been doing that. He's been doing it on a small scale. But brother and sister, God's fixing to do it on a big scale. God has sent an earthquake over here and an earthquake over yonder. Right now, they're predicting the biggest earthquake that we've ever had, right down in Peru. They're predicting the biggest one, the worst one they've ever had. See, God is getting so upset that one of these days he's going to catch this world. Now you listen to me. He's going to catch this world. You talk about grab a man and shake him till his teeth rattles. God is going to grab this world and shake it till the stars fall out of heaven. They're literally going to fall out of heaven. He's going to shake the world so that the stars are literally going to lose hold and fall out of heaven. Now, you believe I'm telling you the truth? If you don't believe it, read it in the book of Revelation. Such great earthquakes and devastating blows upon the earth, till the vibrance of it affecting the atomic particles and the atomic matter, that the stars won't even be able to stay in their sockets. They'll be shook slap out. And John said all of the cities of the nations literally crumble to the ground. He's going to shake it till the skyscrapers of Atlanta, Georgia, of New York, and the great cities of the earth literally crumble down. I thought about what Ronald said about flattening out Iran. Why, he wouldn't be no more than a dog wagging his tail, a puppy. That's right. All Ronald could do wouldn't be no more than a dog wagging his tail. But brother, you wait till God gets a hold of it. And God starts shaking the thing. And I'll tell you, when God gets through shaking it, there's going to be trouble. I mean, there's going to be problems. And I mean, there's going to be somebody that'll stand up and say, yes, sir. They're going to take notice. You know, the Bible says when that first starts, that they're just going to blaspheme and speak against God. They're doing it now, you know. Who is God that I should obey him, giving an earthquake? But the Bible said by the time God got through with the hailstones and got through shaking, they're saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, help us down here. And the Bible says, I heard everything in heaven and in the earth and everything under the earth, saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, just and true." There's going to be a shaking time, folks. You know, Moses spoke of it. This same Moses that gives us warning here, he spoke of this, and he told them, he said, "Now, God is shaking the earth." Paul refers back to it. Moses said he's shaking the earth so much that I tremble. I tremble. I saw this great thing of God. When the writer refers back to it, he said it was such a sight that Moses literally trembled. Literally trembled. Moses expressed the greatness of it to the children of Israel. His fear before God, his reverence, how it struck him. When the writer looked back in the New Testament, he said, "But let me tell you something." He said he shook the earth then. But the Bible says the next time he's going to shake the heavens. He's going to shake the heavens and the earth. Somebody would say, "Well, Brother Pike, it doesn't bother me because I'm ready to meet God." I don't believe that. The way that some of you are living here, you're not ready to meet God. Do you really believe that God is going to let you get by with the gossip, the backbiting, the childish attitude you got of pouting and fussing and finding fault and slamming doors and slinging pillars, slamming doors and puffing and cursing? Cursing? Now, Brother Pike, you don't believe anybody here would do that. I'm afraid that they have. Even some of your own children are cursing in the sanctuary. Some of your children right here are cursing in the sanctuary. Folks, what are we doing? This is why I read the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. This is why that I read the blessing and the curse. You need to know these things. That's why I'm telling you. That's why I'm telling you in the manner and the fashion that I'm telling you in. That's why I scream and I holler at you. You know, when a building's burning down, you don't run around and say, "Hey, get that kid. You better get that kid. Help me get that kid." You don't do that. You scream and you holler for the water and you holler for the ladders. And you holler for help. And when you're on the battlefield, you do the same thing. The Bible said, "Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people of their sins." He didn't say show the world of their sins. He said they delight to approach unto me. And he said they fast. And they say, "We've done all these things, God. You know that we belong to you." But he said, "You smite with the fist of wickedness." He spoke of your gossip. He spoke of your criticism. He spoke of your backbiting. He spoke of your fault finding. He spoke of your evil surmising. You know, I got people here that's bad about evil surmising. I can be set talking to some of the brethren down there, and their minds, some of them will be evilly surmising. Bad about evil is evil surmisings. The Bible speaks bad against evil surmisers. And I got a number of people here, men and women alike, that are evil surmisers. They just can't keep their mind thinking pure and holy. It's got to think their own way, and evil is surmise against the man of God or against the church or against what God's doing or against God's plan or against something. The reason some of them do it is because they're credit to themselves that they're so intelligent that nobody can't help them, that nobody can't straighten them out, nobody can't tell them anything. That's why the Bible has this little passage of Scripture that says the rod is for the fool's back and the bit and the bridle is for the horse's mouth. So that's the only way you can control them. Said, "Now you beware lest these things come nigh you." Now this don't pertain to children of God. Those that love the Lord, those that are pure and holy, those that are submitted, those that are under the control of the ministry and under the control of the Holy Spirit, and those that are following in the footsteps of Jesus, doing the best they can. This don't have anything to do with them. It's those that are rebellious and contrary and evil surmises, fault finders, gossipers, backbiters, following the passions of the flesh, lusting after the girls, lusting after the men, lusting after the wives, lusting after the husband, lusting after the things of the world. Got to ride up and down the street. Go all the time buying, getting something all the time. Never have time to act like a lady or to do like a lady. Always waiting to get around the corner where somebody's not there so that they can cut at some of the women, or some of the women waiting to cut at some of the men. You can say hallelujah. We allow for it here. All right. So then tonight, our subject is on the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. Some of you are the blessed of the Lord. Some of you are under the curse. You know, that's one great thing about the ministry. The Bible says that whoever he blesses, that is the minister, they shall be blessed. Whoever he curses, they shall be cursed. As a minister, he dare not curse anybody that God would bless. He dare not bless anybody that God would curse. He knows the difference, and he knows who's in for the blessings, and he knows who's in for the curse. Like Jacob when he blessed his children, he knew exactly how to bless them because he knew every one of them and what they needed, like the talents this morning. I read here, and I want to relate this to you in closing tonight. There was some revelation that I wanted to get into, but it won't mix with this kind of subject tonight. We just have to do that. The Bible said one spirit, many operations. That's another operation. This is what the Lord gave me for tonight. I had something I wanted to bring, but God had something he wanted to bring. Now, I want you to think on this. We've got some dreamers here. I heard about some dreams that's been going around. And they've been dreaming against Bethlehem. The Bible said, if one hath a dream, and if they dream, and that dream is contrary to what God is doing, if it is contrary to God's word, God's plan, and God's effort to win souls. But if the dream still come to pass. Now somebody would say, now, Brother Pike, if somebody have a dream and it come to pass, we know that's God. It is true. It is true. If you have a dream, it come to pass, it be God. But I want you to listen to what God says about it. You that dream a dream, that seek to turn my people away from my word, to pause their mind against the things of God. He said, if a dream be among you, and this dream come to pass, contrary to what I'm doing in my word and against my people, know one thing, that God has allowed that dream to come to pass. God has worked it out so that dream will come to pass. He said, I did this so that I could try your hearts and try you as a people and see if you would follow my word or if you'd follow a dream. Are you listening? Faith cometh by the hearing of a dream. Somebody say amen. You know faith don't come by hearing of a dream. The Bible said faith cometh by the hearing of the word. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word. And it's by faith, the grace of God through faith, that you're saved. When you hear a dream contrary to God, contrary to the word of God, you have been in a service. You have been in an operation. You have been with a people. You have seen them literally work day and night to do something for God, and then somebody have a dream, and you listen to that, you as big a hypocrite as they are. God said, I'm trying you to see if you'll believe in my word. And woe unto you if you believe in the dream. Brother, let me tell you something. What I read you from the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy If there is any kind of visions, any kind of prophecy, any kind of dreams that don't agree with that, they are of the devil, whether they come to pass or don't come to pass. Your dreams should proportionally balance out according to what I read you in the blessing and the curse. If your dreams agree with what God said about blessing the righteous and cursing the wicked, then your dream is of God. If your dream is contrary to kill the shepherd, to scatter the flock, to blast the house of God, your dream is of the devil. Your vision is of the devil, and you are of the devil. You love the Lord? Praise God. All right, that's the kind of doctrine we got at Bethlehem. I love you. I believe in dreams. I have them myself. We've got some people here that have dreams that I really believe is of God. As a matter of fact, Brother Richard Donald's had a dream of this archway out here before it was ever put up. We've got some people here like Joseph that's, I believe that they're godly dreamers. And we've got some people here that actually see visions. We've got some gifts in the church. But folks, they all agree with the word. If Brother Pike brings you a dream or brings you a vision or brings you a revelation and you can't make it agree with this word, you better forget about it. You better not have so much confidence in Brother Pike that you'll go beyond this word, because you'll go to hell if you do. There's one thing that God esteems above his name, and that's his word. In the beginning was not the name. In the beginning was the word. And the word was that which needed a name, Jesus. Because God is greater than his name. You are greater than your name. Isn't that right? The name is for the benefit of the person. So then, you hold on to the word of God. You hold on to the word of God. And when you have somebody coming around and say, well, your shepherd left the word of God, and you remember what he told you, you say, all right, brother, let's go over and see the shepherd. If he says, well, we'll do it here, say, you hypocrite, I don't want to hear it. Because that's what he is. If he's got the goods, he'll come to the shepherd. And if the shepherd gets off of the word of God, then you don't follow him. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. That's the word of God. I love you. I appreciate you. This is one of the things that I disagree with the followers of Brother Branham on. They say, Brother Branham said, stay with the tapes. I've never heard him say that. He might have said it. I never heard him say that. I heard him say, stay with the word of God and say what the tapes say, to keep from adding to what he had preached. Whereas long before I ever knowed any acquaintance of William Branham, I said, stay with the word and believe the word. It was my policy. I didn't get that from Brother Branham. God got in my heart years ago and said, stay with the word, stay with the word. And all of my ministry, I pressed and I told people, I said, stay with that word. Not because Brother Branham said it, not because somebody else said it, but because I have proved beyond a shadow of a doubt in reading and studying year after year and day after day that this is absolutely the infallible word of the Almighty God. And I can trust it and believe in it. If I said it just because Brother Branham said it, I might get in trouble because it might not be true. But I know that it's true. I've proven it. That's what you need to do. Every individual needs to prove it. You need to prove it. The Bible said, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. So you prove it. All right, let's stand together. You know, when you set out to prove a thing, then you're on the right trail. You're on the right trail. I believe there's something good going on, folks. And I know I've got some people here that's humble, sweet, submissive, and they're willing to receive what I say. And I know I got some here that's fleshly and carnal, resentful, and they can't swallow it down to save their life. It chokes them. And every time I go to say something, they do their best to swallow down. But that old man and woman part of them will just come back at you. They just haven't died out to that flesh. That means that they don't belong to God. The Bible said, all of they that belong to God have mortified the flesh. Killed it out. And the deeds thereof. The passions thereof. The desires thereof. And like I said the other day, when people resent, surmise, lust in their minds, when people do those things, they don't have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ doesn't resent people. The mind of Christ doesn't find fault with people. The mind of Christ doesn't lust. The mind of Christ is holy, pure. It's godly. And brother, if you don't have that kind of attitude, then you don't have God. Even when you're just born again as a little bitty baby, the mind of Christ is pure in your heart. Stir up your pure mind. Overcome the evil one and stir up your pure mind, because God wants you to be pure and he wants you to be holy. And you can be pure and you can be holy. The marriage today, we are not going to comment on it tonight. Maybe we will a little later. A lot of things I would like to say. Comment on a lot of things. But I won't do it tonight. The Lord willing, we will get into some more revelation and some things concerning the rapture. And folks, you might as well get used to me hollering. You that haven't been here long enough to know that I holler, you might as well get rid of it. Get rid of it by leaving. But you're not going to get rid of it up here. Because as long as I'm up here, I'm going to holler at you. And I'm going to lift up my voice like a trumpet. So the only way you get rid of it is to leave it. Now, unless God sees fit to get rid of me, and he might do that. If he does that, that's fine. Then there won't be no hollering from up here. Unless you get somebody else that hollers. But I believe in lifting up my voice like a trumpet and screaming like an eagle. I've done it all down through my ministry, and I don't expect to change it unless God tells me. I believe in preaching the gospel. And you that resent it and find fault with it, you might as well change churches, because that's the way we do it here. You know, I said this the other day. My people they change from one extreme to another. When I come here to preach to them, they get to begin with, they wanted me to preach to them when I wanted to teach them. So I had to preach to them when my heart was filled with the revelation of Jesus. But then they reversed on me. And now they've gotten to where they want me to teach them when I have to preach to them. And I said, what do you mean by that? I mean that I love to teach you. That is my desire. And that's the way it should be with the church, is to teach you. But you should be versatile. When I preach, you should work with me. If you believe in teaching and love teaching, Paul said, I am a preacher and a teacher. The same spirit, two different operations. There's one spirit, many operations. Now, when you see a child running out in front of a car, you scream at him. When you see a child that's getting out from under control and he's in danger and you can't get to him, you scream at him. Of course, some of you scream anyway. But the thing is, I want to teach you. I love to teach you. I come here tonight to teach you. I come here tonight to bring you revelation, because my heart's full of it. But there's some of you that needed this message tonight. This is what you needed. You didn't need revelation. You needed this. Paul said, I'd like to speak unto you as in spirituals, but seeing that you're babes in Christ, I can't. He said, you're still carnal. Are you not yet carnal? Envy, strife, malice, fault finding, backbiting, tempers, flying off the handle, getting upset, getting angry. Are you not yet carnal? Can you have the spirit of revelation when you want to buy, sell, get gain, make money, instead of fast, pray, study, love one another, win souls, are you not yet carnal? I want to teach you. It's my desire. I'd like to come here and never raise my voice. That way I'd never get hoarse. I purpose in my heart I was going to do that one time. I really did. I purpose in my heart one time. I said, well, I ain't going to be no loud preacher, and I ain't going to raise my voice. I'm just going to talk easy, and that's going to be the way it is. But I found out that God didn't want that. When God said lift up your voice like a trumpet, he means to lift up your voice like a trumpet. If Dwight steps up here and he blasts out on that trumpet, you're going to know it. And if you think this is loud, when Gabriel steps out from heaven and he blasts out on that trumpet, all of the world's going to hear it. And the police can't say, turn it down. So then, I want to teach you. I love to teach you. But there's people that I have to scream at and holler at. I have to preach to. You say, that's foolishness, Brother Pike. That's what the Bible calls it, the foolishness of preaching. Because man thought he was so smart, the Bible says, it pleased God to take something foolish and to give him a chance to get out of the danger. The foolishness of preaching. It sure is foolishness. I agree with you. But that's the only way that you can get some people's attention is to holler at them and scream at them. Today down here at that wedding, I was talking calm and collective to the people about the great danger that they were in. And I noticed that there was some among us that wasn't paying any attention to me at all. They had their mind on something else. I can sit in the men's meeting down yonder, and I can be talking or somebody else talking, and there'll be some back in the back that won't be paying any attention at all. But you let me scream out a little bit. You let one of the other men scream out a little bit, and everybody perks up. That's why God does it. And so then, you that are here that are teachable, I appreciate you. I thank God for you. But don't get in a rut. Remember, there's other people coming in and out here that don't know God. There's people tonight here that don't know Jesus that needs to be born again. And there's people that are in line for judgment here that's among you. They're in line for judgment and they're fixing to get it. And it's my job to preach to them. And I'm screaming at them because they are in trouble. And you know, and the thing about it is a lot of times it's some of you that thinks that you're all right because you've been fasting or you've been praying or you've been seeking God, as you say. And you feel like you're all right and you don't have to listen, that you can be critical. You're in bad shape. Your fasting and praying didn't do you a bit of good. All you did was get overconfidence in the flesh and separate yourself from God and from the brethren. That's what he said. Fast and then smite with the fist of wrong. Now, so you want to get together and you want to work with me or the preacher, and when he preaches, get in there and say amen and work with him and don't resent, don't swell up, don't get contrary, and push and shove and help carry the load. And then when he's teaching, then you'll get fed real good. But if you freeze up on him when he's trying to reach those little ones or reach the lost, then you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be in trouble. All right, and I say that not because you froze up on me tonight. Long toward the end of it there, I felt some of you freezing up on me. You got to wanting to go home. You thought I took long enough. Well, I say this, take 10 minutes from God and he may take 10 years off of your life. That's why a lot of people are in the grave at an early age. Some give him 10 minutes and they lived longer. They're still around 60, 70, and 80. Because God kept them around. But I understand. I don't want to take too long. I don't want to take too long. I want to help you. But I want you to consider this as I close tonight. Work with me. Work with the pastor. Do these things that I told you, folks. Incorporate these things in your heart. Let this be your believing. What I told you tonight, give the earnest heed. Don't let them slip. Remember them. Remember them and believe in them. Believe in them. Believe in them, and it'll bring you a great life. It'll bring you happiness. But if you don't believe in them, and you let them slip, after a while, the judgments of the Lord is going to fall on you. A bad day is going to come your way, and then you're going to wonder what happened to you. So then, as we go our way tonight, it might be a year before I ever preach on this again. I may never preach on it again, but don't let it slip. The Bible said, don't let it slip. Anchor it down in there and say, tonight, from now on, Brother Pike, I'm not going to be a hypocrite and run around and cause gossip and trouble and say I don't understand in division when I know that I'm a hypocrite and I'm doing it for my own personal advantage. And I'm not going to cause division by gossiping, backbiting, these kind of things. I'm not going to do that and have an unruly tongue every time I get a little bit upset or somebody says so-and-so said something about you. I'm not going to lose out with God over those things. I'm going to settle down and I'm going to remember this blessing and curse. And I'm going to follow that blessing. And I'm going to be plenteous in goods from now on. I'm going to be a holy person. And I'm going to be plenteous in goods from now on. Let's do that, folks. If you will, you'll be a happy people. And you'll love Brother Pike. But if you don't, you'll hate me. You'll hate me because you'll hate God. The Bible said they curse God. And they come against God because of the judgments that come on them. Until they got so severe that it scared them half to death. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. I don't feel like I've helped you all that late. How many of you want to do something for Jesus? You know, the one thing that you need to do, you need to remember. A lot of my people here are bad about reasoning as to when I'm anointed and when I'm not anointed, or when a preacher is anointed and when he's not anointed. I want to tell you again, you are so much in error. God's minister does not have to get anointed. He does not have to get anointed. God's minister is God's anointed. He is God's anointed. If you meet him out by that door, he's God's anointed. If he wakes up in the morning and he speaks to you, he's God's anointed. When he comes up here to speak, he's God's anointed. And what causes the anointing, as you call it, to fall flat sometimes, is because of your minds and attitudes of not being receptive. He's always God's anointed. As long as that man lives right, walks upright, he's God's anointed. And even if he makes a mistake, as it was in the Old Testament, Saul was still God's anointed. David was still God's anointed. David killed the man that killed Saul, saying, "You touch God's anointed." David done his evil and done his wrong, but he was still God's anointed. Not that we should follow the error of anyone that does wrong. You should follow the word. But brother, when it comes to God's anointed, they are God's anointed. And Balaam, whoever he blessed, was blessed. And whoever he cursed, was cursed. Did you know that? Did you know that? Though he loved the wages of unrighteousness, God called him to be a seer. And when he went over to curse Israel, he blessed Israel. He blessed Israel. You know why? It goes back to what I said about being God's anointed. God has his way in the heart of his anointed. So then, you need to reverence that, and you need to understand that, and you need to work with God's anointed more than you do. And quit reasoning in your mind as to when you think the sermon is enough, or when he said enough, or trying to squeeze to get him to shut up when you think it's about time that he quit. If I don't have enough God and intelligence and understanding to know when to start and when to stop up here, then I'm not God's anointed and I've got no business being up here. And then besides that, folks, you and I and all of the people of America as a rule, and just about in the world today, we don't get anything but what is referred to as popcorn sermons in the sense of the time limit. 2 or 3 hours is not really a sermon according to the way that men of old preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It should take at least 3 good hours for anybody to deliver a message from God. And who are we to say that God has taken too long to speak to us? And you're squeezed down in your heart and mind to hinder the service. And it won't be long before God will take some of your years away from you. If you can't spare God a little time to try to win souls and program people's mind and to help people over the hump, and you just got to get out there and make another dollar, and you just got to get out there and be on the job, and you just got to get out there and eat more, and you just got to ride, and your body's worked up so that you don't give it no rest before you come to the house of God, so you can just be a miserable wreck the whole time you're there and make everybody else miserable because you went all day in the flesh. God will cut your years down, and you'll find out, brother, sister, that you won't be around after a while to make the crowd miserable. The Bible said, because you serve not the Lord thy God with joyfulness of heart. And I want to leave this thought with you, because this is the thought that God gave me many years ago. I said, Lord, I want to know why that I cannot prosper. He took me to the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy and showed me. And this was the thing that stuck out in my mind and has until today. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness of heart, all of these plagues come upon thee. So then let's purpose in our heart tonight that he hath made us glad, and that we're going to have joy in serving God, and we're going to turn our hearts and mind toward God in a delight and a desire, and make that our number one goal and make this thing a joy. If you aren't going to do that, people, you need to get away from it. Because you're going to be a miserable wretch. It's going to bring the judgments of God on you. And you are really going to be in bad shape. If you want to go to heaven and you love God and you mean business, get in here and love the Lord. And let's work together and let's do this thing. And if the preacher makes a bobble, if the preacher does wrong, if the preacher gets out of balance, let God lay the lash on him. He knows how to handle the preacher. He took good care of David, don't you think he did? He took good care of Saul, didn't he? He took good care of Solomon. He knows exactly what to do to Brother Pike. He knows exactly what to do to you too. All right, let's sing this little chorus together. I love you tonight. I'm not scolding you. I love you. But a lot of times I do holler at you because I feel so much resentment in the old carnal mind, the old devil curling up out there to come back. And I want to let him have it with both barrels. Somebody said, you run him off. I'm trying my best to. Let's sing the chorus, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry, and while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Sing it with me now. Oh, Savior, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? And while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Sing it one more time. Oh, Savior, Savior, Won't you hear my humble cry? And while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Don't you love Jesus tonight? You know, there's one thing that I'm sure of, and that is at Bethlehem, and I don't say this because you're my people, because whether you remain with me or not, as long as you continue to do the way you're doing, some of you, at Bethlehem, there are some of the finest, most intelligent, most godly, most holy people that's ever lived in the world. Somebody say, well, I know there are some of the others too. But that don't change the fact that what I said is true. We're working on the others. As the song said, God's still working on me. So we're working on the others. We haven't given up hope. The man said, let me dig around the tree. Dung around it a little longer. Don't cut it down. Maybe it'll bring forth some fruit. Who knows? Let me scream at it in the name of Jesus a little more. Let me stir it up a little more. Who knows but what it might make a good fruit tree. Let's don't cut it down yet. Let's do all we can until there's absolutely no hope. Isn't that what you want God to do to you? That's what I want him to do to me. I want him to bear long with me, and he has. He's been very patient. I had a vision the other night. I was praying just a couple of nights ago. I don't know what it meant, but I know that this message has to do with the renewing of life and youth and redemption of the body. How many of you believe that that's true? I had this vision, and in this vision, the Lord showed me a number of little faces like my Gracie, young girls, and faces that was tender and youthful of young people. And something said, look at those faces. And I did. And they were so young and youthful. And something said to me, said, your face is just exactly like that now. Said, what you have been doing has made your face just exactly like that now. And your face is just as youthful now as theirs is and looks exactly like that. Somebody said, well, Brother Park, I guess you better go back and look in the mirror. I'll take his word for it. I don't believe the mirror anyway. I think what I see in the mirror a lot of times is lying vanity anyway. I'll just take his word for it. If he says it's that way, it's all right with me. Say, yeah, but Brother Pike, think about all them people that's looking at your face. They don't feel that way. Well, what difference does that make to me? As long as I'm happy in here, as long as I'm happy in here, that's all that matters. Isn't that right? That was like the little story about Simple Simon fishing in the bucket. If he's fishing in the bucket and he's happy, leave him alone. I'm happy. I believe in these things, and I believe in what God tells me. And I believe that like the eagle, we have the power to renew our strength and renew our youth. Isn't that right? Let's sing that little chorus, They That Wait Upon the Lord, and then I'm going to let you go. I know it's getting a little chilly in here. I want you to forgive me for holding you when it gets a little chilly. I do. I want you to forgive me. But folks, I don't know of any other way to preach to you. If I let you go just because you get to feeling uncomfortable, then you're going to do that with 20 minutes after those heaters are cut off. Because the poor reaction of the body is going to cause that. But I know when the pores adjust themselves and close up a little, you'll be comfortable, because I've been outside where it's real cold. And a little while, I'll be comfortable. God in water the same way. So I feel that we can persevere a little bit. And we're going to get heat, proper heat in the church. We need it for the babies. But you've got to admit, while other people's babies have died in churches that had heat, God's blessed your little ones. Isn't that right? He's blessed your little ones. Sometimes it's a whole lot better that if their bodies don't get too warm, when you take them out of here and they go out into the weather out there, they're more adjusted to it. Then when you get them in the house back over there, they're all right. You know, a lot of the houses are too close today. It opens up the pores of the little one's skin. You get them outside of the cars, the houses, and they take pneumonia. The old houses years ago, it was a little uncomfortable in it, but they kind of kept them, you know. A lot of elderly people won't even use, even in the summertime, air conditioners because they want that uniform thing. So then, just pray, and when we get heat in here, you'll look back, just like Brother Taylor and him does today, on the little old tent that was sitting out here when they had to go to school in the cold. Persevered. It's a great memory. You know, Washington in the snow with his men, that's what we read about, a great memory. It's what you do in perseverance for God. That's the great memory. It's not the first church uptown with all of its convenience. There's no memory to that. God doesn't care for that. But the perseverance of those people that did something for Jesus' sake, that's going to be your sweet memories. You watch and see. Your sacrifice of giving, your sacrifice of fasting and praying, your sacrifice of being cool and uncomfortable, that's going to be your blessing. Someday, that'll be the thing that'll be the blessing and the testimony. And when you're comfortable and everything is here, you have the heat and everything's just right, you can sit back and enjoy it. Enjoy the church and say, glory to God. I remember the good old days when we had to persevere in the cold. Now everything's all right. But I got all that accredited to my good. All right, let's sing it. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, just to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, just to wait. Don't you love Jesus? All right. I want you to close your eyes and lift your hands, and I want to pray with you. Forgive Brother Pike for the inconvenience, because I would love to see you so comfortable. I would love to see you have the best. But folks, it may sound rough, rugged, undesirable when I scream at you and preach at you. It may sound that way. But I'll tell you what, if you'll take the wonderful treasures of heaven that we're giving you in the Spirit and these few moments that we're spending with you, put them in your treasure chest. You'll be so grateful down the road. You'll be so grateful. It'll guide you all the days of your life. And I certainly love you and appreciate you. And don't holler at you because I'm not appreciative of you. Because I do love you. Those that scorn will be lost and shut off. Cut off from the glory of God. But you that are willing to wait upon the Lord, you'll renew your strength. and you'll find this wonderful thing, this treasure that we're speaking of. Tell somebody about the services. Tell somebody about Jesus. Tell them we believe in reality. We clap our hands. We pray. We preach. We scream out in the name of Jesus. We dance if we feel like it. Tell them we believe in reality at Little Bethlehem. We'd like for them to come out and be with us. Father of heaven, in the wonderful name of Jesus, I do ask in Jesus' name that you be with me. Forgive me, O Father, of all of my sins and mistakes and foolishness. O Father, keep me clean and purge me. Make me holy. Give me a heart after thine own heart, Holy Father. Make me to love the people of God. And O God, love thy people. I know that you do love thy people. Lord, you love your people. You care for your people. And O God, bless thy people. May they be healed and may they be saved. And may they be forgiven. May they be blessed. May they be plenteous in goods. And may they be above only and never beneath. May they live holy. And the fear of all the world be. Lord, may it be toward thy people. Lord, that all people and nations would fear them. In that they live holy, conduct themselves righteously, transact in a godly, holy manner in every way that they can. Help them when they stumble and stagger. Lift them up and strengthen them. Give them that wonderful blessing that can only come from Jesus. I ask it in your lovely name and for your glory. Amen. You can consider yourselves dismissed.